Welcome to Living Life on the Max with Keisha B. Spivey, a weekly podcast that will challenge you and encourage you to live your best life yet. Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Living Life on the Max. I am continuing in my series called Soul Sisters. And depending on how you feel, you can drop the ers and put a and make it Soul Sisters. But it's just a series of taking the time to talk to some of my girlfriends. I understand that women sometimes struggle with developing relationships. I understand what it's like to be hurt by a sister who's supposed to have your back. I understand what it's like to be betrayed and to have your good spoken evil of. And I think somewhere in there, we stop becoming sisters. We stop developing relationships, and then we start doing life alone, and that is dangerous. I sit across women often who are struggling, who are bitter, who are angry, who are depressed because they're doing life alone. Today, we're continuing in this series, and I'm calling it Sisterhood is Special. It is special. Last week, we talked about how real relationships are worth the risk. And you have to risk something to get in relationship with people. And sometimes you risk being hurt, but you also risk being helped and developing something that is so special that you don't even have the words to describe it. Today, my guests and I are going to have a little sister chat, and we're going to invite you in to listen to our conversation. I'm sure there's something we're going to say that you can relate to, or it might be something you say that literally makes you think we're absolutely crazy. But whatever the case is, I do believe you will get something from it. So I'm inviting you today to join into our story. My gut says you will be able to relate. My guest today is a dear sister of mine. Her name is Trashonda Roberson. She's a single woman. She's a minister. She's a leader. She's a visionary. And she's just an amazing woman. My life is richer because of my relationship with her. So I want to welcome you, Trashonda. Welcome to our conversation. We were talking before we came into this room on how we met, and we don't even know.
No.
I don't remember.
I have no clue. All I remember is it happened. Organic sisterhood. And it happened.
It happened. We didn't go looking for it.
No.
She invited me to speak at a conference that she was doing at the church. I don't remember knowing her before then. We talked. I don't even remember us talking at the conference. But no. I cannot remember us not talking since the conference.
Right. That was the thing, because I was thinking about that the other day. How did we meet? Like, who connected us? Was it an event we was at? And it wasn't. It was nothing I could think of. And all I kept saying was, that's organic sisterhood. It just happens.
It just happened.
And it fits.
We didn't have to work at it.
No.
We didn't have to fight through and try to figure out and test each other. Can I trust you?
Right.
You know, are you who you say you are? It just happened.
Right.
It just happened. So for you, I want to kind of go into this because you have a great relationship with your biological sister.
Right.
I shared a little bit last week how my biological sister coming on the show, we saving out for last because I need to get through all this other conversation first. And we love each other, but we're as opposite as night and day. And we didn't have that sisterhood. Our relationship is simple. You know, I can talk about it. You can't. And
right,
I'm going to do it to her face.
Right.
I'm not doing it behind her back. But you ain't going to come to me and talk about it. That's just not going to happen. So we have a very unique relationship. But you and your sister, you guys have a special bond. Talk to me a little bit about your relationship with your biological sister.
Yeah. So it's three of us.
Okay,
so we have an older brother. But my sister and I have always been the closest because it just seemed like my brother got away with everything. But my sister and I share a lot of stuff in common, like whether it was doing hair. Eventually, I grew out of that because I didn't want to do hair. Or whether it was we was always together, whether or not it was something we was doing at home or we was going some places together. It was always her and I. And so as we got older, of course, we kind of went in different paths, but she was the person that I can call. Like, she's the person who's going to love me, who's going to get me straight, who's going to not sugarcoat anything for me, just going to tell it to me straight. And so that's just how our relationship has always been. So even to this day, if I have a question about something, I ask her. She's my person. And so that's how our relationship is.
How has that translated into you developing other relationships with other sisters? How has that, because you came from a healthy place. See, mine was a little bit different. yours was healthy. So how did you transfer that or transition that when you were, you know, going through and meeting other ladies and inviting them into your special space, into your inner circle? How did that transition for you?
So for one, me and my sister had trust now. Now, we don't tell each other everything, but we had a level of trust. And so that's what I kind of look for when I'm looking at developing relationships with other women. But then also me and my sister had moments where we had hurt, right? Mm-hmm. So when you've been hurt as a woman, you can almost see that in other women.
It's true.
And so, and you don't want other women to hurt. So me and my sister have that kind of relationship. When one of us is hurting, the other one of us is hurting, and we're going to do whatever we need to do to make sure we're healed and we're whole. And so that kind of transferred into my relationship with other women.
Have you ever had times where it was hard for you to trust other women?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What do you think that came from?
I think it just came from over time being hurt, okay, or, you know, telling something to another woman and then it get back. And so I think that's where, and I had to build that trust back up, because then I started backing away and like, you know what? I don't want to be friends with no other women. No new friends.
I don't do women. Yeah. I don't do women.
No new friends. No new friends. And so I really had to, first I had to look at myself, right? Like, what did you may have contributed to that, right? Was it that you had a need to be needed, mm-hmm, and you needed to be in a circle? You know, I had to look at myself first. And so, no, all of the relationships was not always good, and there was some hurt there, but I had to first look at myself and say, okay, what did you contribute to all this?
So after you looked at yourself and took that time of self-evaluation, how did you start the process to do it again? Because, see, sometimes people get hurt. They can get betrayed. Yeah. They can look at themselves and say, okay, look, she was wrong and I was wrong. Okay, whatever, I'm done. Ain't doing that no more. Been there, done that. Yeah. So for you, how did you get back on the bike? You know, you fail.
Right.
Maybe you fail. Maybe you got pushed. But how did you literally, when you think back over some of that, mm-hmm, start the process again? Because I talk to women all the time who fell off the bike or fell off the relationship wheel. I don't trust nobody. Ain't doing this no more. And then they go into isolation.
Right.
How did you navigate that?
The first thing for me was, like I said, I had to recognize what it was in me, right? So I had to deal with all that feeling of rejection, that feeling of abandonment, that feeling of people-pleasing. I had to deal with all of that with me.
You had to look at the ugly?
Yeah, I had to look at all that, because we're so quick to want to blame everyone else. But then it was a slow process back, right? So it would be women that I had something in common with. And it wasn't that I would jump right into the friendship, but it was a slow walk. Like, I was learning how to crawl and walk all over again. So we just have to take the process slowly and learn to trust little bit by little bit. Don't jump and try to get into a whole crowd, but one person at a time. That's how I did it.
That is good. One person at a time, one piece of trust at a time, one let's build life together at a time. So how would you, if you were, as you think back over that, and in lieu of your relationship with your biological sister and even your chosen sisters, how would you define sisterhood? Because I believe that we got a misunderstanding of what sister, because just because we hang out together don't make us sisters.
Mm-mm.
Just because we go to the same church doesn't make us sisters. Just mm-mm, because we have some of the same interests. I mean, when you think of sisterhood, what does that mean to you? How do you define that?
And that was something, Keisha, that over time I really had to almost redefine sisterhood.
Ooh,
for
that's
me,
good.
Right? I had to redefine it, because for me, sisterhood was we act alike, we have the same interests, we go to the same places, I scratch your back, you scratch my back, all of that. So for me, sisterhood is, it's a level of love, trust, and accountability.
That's good. Talk about that a little bit more.
Nowhere else. So it's that accountability. Mm-hmm. If there is something that I need to be doing that I'm not doing, my sister's going to tell me. If my life is going in a direction that is raggedy, is not living to the level that, you know, God is saying I should be at, my sisters are going to tell me. They're going to hold me to what I say that I am and that I'm going to be, right? So for me, sisterhood has that level of accountability that you're not going to find anywhere else. They're not going to let you live less than.
That's good. So how do you, when your sisters check you, and snatch you all the way up. How do you not be offended? Because so many people, they say we sisters and we good, but the moment someone challenges them or calls them out, they get into offense.
If this is your sister and you're in this sisterhood, you have this bond, you can't get mad. Or if you get mad, you cannot stay mad.
You gotta
mad.
Get over it.
You gotta have tough skin. Because I know with me and my biological sister, right, sometimes she tell me stuff and I don't like it. But I know I have to get over it because that's what the bond is about. That's what the sisterhood is about.
Safety.
You got to be in a place where someone can say something to you, and even if it offends you or you get upset, you don't hold on to that offense because there's some truth in it somewhere.
That's good. That's the part we don't want to deal with.
No.
I think, too, you said a couple things when you were talking about trust earlier. When we get to the place where we trust that someone has our best interest in mind, when we trust that someone has our heart,
right?
They don't have to be tippy-toeing around the tulips with us. Even I'm occasionally considered one who doesn't put Cool Whip on type of stuff. I'm trying to do better. I really am. I don't have like a sweet, fluffy, fruity ministry. I come with spinach and asparagus and Brussels sprouts. That's just kind of how I do, especially with my sisters.
Right.
Because I love you too much to let you think that's okay. I love you too much to let you make excuses for yourself. Not that I know better, not that I'm any better, but you done told me what you said you wanted. Right. You done told me who you said you were. So as your sister, I have a responsibility to remind you when you forget.
Right. You know what, Keisha, that is such a key word. Responsibility. Because I don't think as sisters, as women, we realize that once another sister tell us something, right? Like tell us something that she wanna accomplish, tell us something that's going on in her life. Once she tell it to us, she trusts us, then it's a responsibility of ours, right?
That's good.
And we don't realize that we are responsible as well to make sure that that thing is getting done, that she's not falling back, that she is being who she's supposed to be. It's a responsibility, accountability and responsibility.
That's it. And if you got somebody you call in a sister and you don't have that, you got a special friend. Mm-mm. But sisterhood means when I go down, somebody coming in there to get me.
Right.
If she coming to get me. She might have to hold me up a minute, but then eventually she going to push me because you not going to stay down.
Right. I used to say, if I was in the ocean drowning, my real sisters, even if they can't swim,
they're coming for you.
They're coming. They're going to figure out a way to get to the middle of the ocean to get me out.
That's it. You got to have somebody that's going to come for you.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that frustrates me, and this is a little pet peeve of mine, people go on social media and they begging, you know, unspoken this request, and I got this, and you're writing your whole diary. You all upset, or you caught your man doing something, your boss did something, you mad at the government, and you go spew all this out. And one day I was sitting there saying, don't you have anybody that you can pop a text to or pick up a telephone call or go pick up a phone and make a call or go get coffee with to get that venom out?
Right.
So instead of getting it in a safe place with somebody who's going to challenge you on your thinking, you spew it out to the world. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the thing, Keisha. The reason why they do it that way is because they know they won't be challenged.
Ooh, that's it.
They don't want to. Let me get it out. Let me dump all this out. But I don't want to be held. I don't want to accountability
for it. I don't
want to
be corrected.
No.
I don't want to be challenged. But my thoughts are this. That's no different than people come to church. If you come to church on Sunday and you aren't getting challenged, if you don't leave out at least with your toes stepped on one or two times, or you don't leave out saying, God, I am sorry, I need to get my game together. If you leave out of a church service and you haven't been corrected by the great teacher, what are you there for?
Right.
If you're not open to correction and open to being challenged in your thinking, you know, I think society has made us get to a place where we think it's all about our feelings.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
I feel about it.
Mm-hmm. That's just how I feel. Not teachable at all.
That's good.
Don't want to be teachable. Don't want to learn from anyone else. Because sometimes in my mind, I have all the answers. I have all the answers for my life. So I'm not teachable. Don't try to correct me. I'm not getting convicted. And so that's not sisterhood, and that's not growth.
That is so good. But I think about me and my husband. We're as opposite as night and day. We don't have anything in common outside our love for God, our love for each other, and some basic principles. But everything else, we're different. And when I think about my sisterhood, we're all so different.
Right.
Different strengths, different weaknesses. Doesn't make anybody better than the other. I believe the thing that makes us different is what makes us dangerous against darkness and against defeat and discouragement, because we have each other and we love each other differently.
Right.
We communicate differently, but it also requires that we be sensitive to one another. So talk to me a little bit about that when it comes to communication and women and, you know, those types of things. Tell us a little bit about some of your experiences with that.
You have to know how you best communicate, right? You have to know how what your temperament is, how God has uniquely, you know, wired you, right? Mm-hmm. So once you understand you and how you could communicate, you can understand how other people communicate. So you don't easily get mad and upset because it seems like Keisha may be a little bit, you know, Keisha may come for me with a knife and a sword, but that's how she communicates, right? So you begin to understand your sisters because you understand how their personality is, you understand how God has uniquely wired them, and you understand how He has wired you. So you understand how to build those relationships and communicate in a way that everyone, you know, everyone understands each other.
And it's not personal.
It's not.
We're so sensitive. We're so sensitive.
It's not.
Oh, my God. Everybody's got their feelings all hurt. And just, we have to learn to embrace our differences.
Right, right.
And everyone can't be the same. And everyone doesn't do what you do and think like you think. But that's what makes the world so powerful and makes God's creation so beautiful. I read a quote last week from Maya Angelou that just blessed my whole heart. It says, "I don't believe an accident of birth makes people sisters or brothers. It makes them siblings. It gives them a mutuality of parentage. But sisterhood and brotherhood is a condition people have to work at."
Yes.
They have to work at it. So when you think about working at developing healthy friendships and relationships and sisterhood, to you, what does working at it look like?
You got to be intentional.
Okay. We'll talk to you about that.
You have to be intentional about building those relationships, right? So it's not a one-way street. It's not the other person is doing the phone calls. The other person is making sure that they are, you know, present in the relationship. It's a two-way thing. Both people have to be present. Both people have to be intentional about building that trust, building that accountability, building that relationship. It's a two-way thing. And so it's not, like I said, it's not one-sided. It's not one way.
I think sometimes, and this is something I've been guilty of, I'm not sure if you have. Sometimes in the past, I would confuse sisterhood with assignments.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Because there's a difference between you, my sister, and I'm assigned to you.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had issues with that?
Yes. And then you try to hold on. You try to hold on, and it's almost, not that there's anything wrong with the person. Yeah. Let me be clear. Not that there's anything wrong, but you're wondering why you're drained. And it's because that person, that relationship was for a season.
The assignment ended.
Yeah, it was for a season. It was for you and for them.
Yeah.
But you're steady holding on. And God is like, this was in a season, and it was an assignment.
That's it. And I think about times where I was just like, what happened was, that was my girl. Yeah. We were so close. Then all of a sudden, it's like, what happened? And I think back on some of those relationships, and I see that God had allowed that person to come into my life at that time because this is what I needed.
Mm-hmm.
It was a part of my growing up.
Right.
It was a part of my maturing. So, and I had to be okay with healing and grieving and releasing.
That's good, Keisha. Because I don't think people realize that you have to grieve relationships
this way. You gotta grieve it. Because what we had died.
It's gone.
What I knew of died.
Yeah.
And so the person didn't, but what we had did.
Yeah.
And it's okay to say it hurt me. It's okay to say we were connected. It was okay to say that our lives were woven together like a quilt. And all of a sudden, it ain't there no more. And so I've had to heal from that and not be bitter, but then learn how to get better.
Yes, yes. It was a lot of situations that I had that I didn't realize I was grieving.
Yeah.
like relationships. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it was grief until I was sitting down one day with my therapist and she told me that that's what it was.
Gave it a name.
She said that's what
it was. She gave it a name.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know why. What makes us think that we can just take a licking and keep on ticking? Why? How did we get to be time X?
I don't know.
We're not moved. We're human. We hurt.
Right.
Right. We go through.
Right.
But we have to heal. And I think for me, I went through a season of being really lonely and being really isolated because I didn't want to heal.
Ooh.
I think I wanted to hold on to the hurt.
Yeah.
Because it gave me an opportunity to fence myself in. I ain't had to let nobody in, and I ain't had to go out.
And it, you would think it's keeping you from getting even more hurt, but it's not.
Mm-hmm. It was putting me further and further in a place of isolation. Mm-hmm. And what was happening, it was making me get to a place of comparison. It was making it was taking me to a place of just, like, complacency. Because iron sharpens iron.
Right.
And I didn't have that in my life. And so I was feeling dull because iron sharpens iron. Talk to us a few minutes about, you know, you have women in your circle that are professional. You have women with all kinds of education. I tell people, I have people in my life. I have people that I'm sisters with that have PhDs and felonies. Yeah. You know, they're all. So there's across the gamut. I got them all. And I learned something from all of them. But each time I've had to allow myself to be true and get to a place of being authentic and being good with Keisha. Because when you're with certain people, the natural tendency is comparison. Yeah. The natural tendency is, woe to me. Look, they got this and I don't have this. And how have you dealt with the comparison? How have you done with that piece? Because I don't think we intentionally set out to do it, but it will look up and find ourselves in a valley of comparing our not to somebody else's gots.
Yeah. One of the things I had to first do was learning not to become a chameleon.
Okay. Whatever, talk to me about that.
Whatever circle I was in, trying to adapt and be more like that circle, right? Whether it was my friends that was owning the business in boardrooms, and I'm trying to be like them because I'm thinking that's what I have to be, or whether it was my friends that were still hanging out, having to be like them. And so I remember getting to a point where I was comparing myself to the ones who had the PhDs and all of that. And I had to become satisfied with where I am. Mm.
How did you get there?
Over time, I had to say, look at the small things that I've accomplished, right? It may not have been a PhD, but I did accomplish this thing, this certificate. I did do this. I did. So I had to start looking at the small victories, or what people may call small victories. But it was big victories.
They were big victories.
And I had to be satisfied in that. Because you can go into relationships, and if you're doing so much comparison, you don't get to enjoy the relationship.
It's a competition.
Yeah, you don't get to enjoy it at all. So then it puts you in a place where you're really not learning from the others. You're so busy trying to compare that you don't learn.
I think it's where we women lose ourselves.
Yeah.
Because we're so busy competing, which is exhausting. We're so busy comparing, which is discouraging. And so you never, ever develop into the amazing person God has called you to be.
Right.
And the enemy is sitting back watching you try to be a counterfeit. You're being a cubic zirconium, and God has made you a diamond.
Yeah.
And you can just be bald like any old kind of fake stone, and you want to know why you're miserable. Because you haven't gotten to the place of being good with you.
Right.
And everybody ain't going to like you.
No.
Everybody's not going to embrace you. And we have to get to the place where that's okay.
Yes. I think another one of our issues is we have to get off social media sometimes.
Hello. Talk about that.
We will get on, you know, on social media. And I say we because I've done it.
Me too.
Be on social media and I'll start comparing myself to what I see. I should be doing this right now. I should be going this. And we'll start comparing ourselves to other women. And it's like, don't compare. Can you learn from them?
That's it.
Be satisfied with you. And then see what you can learn from them.
I had a situation this year, this summer, talking about social media when I had to get off. Because is everybody vacationing? Everybody's in Jamaica. Everybody's in Puerto Rico. Everybody's going and traveling the world. And I'm working like a Hebrew slave. And I'm like, can I just get to the ocean? I just want to put my feet in the water. And I had to stop. And I said, Keisha, what are you doing? Let them people have their vacation. Let them people do them. You do you.
Yeah.
At the appointed time, you'll get your reprieve. It may not look like what they have. Right. And in that moment, I realized I had fallen into a trap that was literally trying to make me despise where I am.
Right.
And I think that was about me in the water, in the ocean, because I wanted some time off. But I think that's with women who look at women who are single. They have so much time and they get to do their life. Women who are single looking at people that are married. I wish I had a man. Right. Then they have children. They don't have children. They're kids. We fall into this trap and you'll look up and life has passed you by.
Yes.
I think about this last couple weeks and the number of deaths of people.
Yeah.
I call them young because they're our age.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, if you're not careful, you would have spent your entire life competing, comparing, and complaining. And the next thing you know, somebody's carrying you out.
Yeah.
Life's too short.
Yeah. You never live.
Life is too short. So what would you say from listening to our conversation and, you know, talking about the importance of sisterhood and developing relationships, what recommendations or suggestions would you make for women that could be coming out of that unhealthy place? Mm-hmm. They've been burned. They're isolated. I don't have any friends. I'm lonely. You know, I get, you know, and it's so easy to tell them what the Bible says. You want friends, show yourself friendly. What does that mean? So someone who said, I don't have no friends. Yes. I ain't got no girls. It's just me. And I've been hurt and I'm wounded and I got these walls up. Where do you tell them to start? What would you say to them?
I would start, first of all, doing my own self-assessment of myself.
What does that mean?
Making sure that there's nothing I'm holding on to, right? Mm. I'm not still holding on to rejection. I'm not still holding on to pain and past hurts. Because if you're holding on to it, you're going to take it into the next relationship,
that's
right?
That's good.
So first doing that. Secondly, getting connected with like a small group.
That's good.
So that you are like slowly opening yourself up to relationships. So finding you a small group of women who may be getting together, just maybe reading a book, or they may be a walking club. So finding that type of connection and getting connected that way.
Just start.
Just start.
I believe if you're open, just like we can't even remember where we got started.
No, don't remember.
Don't remember to me. Nobody introduced us and stopped and we shook hands. I don't remember. I don't ever remember us sitting down having that. But now when I'm going through, I ain't got no hesitation to pop you a text. And her sleep pattern's about as bad as mine, right. So it could be any time of the night. It just developed.
When you're open, when you're truly open, God gonna send them.
That's it.
He's gonna send the right friends that you need.
And so stop trying to force the wrong ones into the right ones, because that's miserable. No. That's miserable. You know, sisterhood is to be together, feel together, heal together, and rise together.
Yes.
God. I believe sisterhood is about us coming up together. What are your closing thoughts on that quote? Again, it's sisterhood is to be together, feel together, heal together, and rise together. What are your thoughts on that?
First thing is being together, understanding that you are not in this thing alone, and that as I go up, you go up. So you're not in it alone, and you are with a group of sisters that you are rising up together. You're being everything you was placed on this earth to be together.
Together. God designed us to be in relationship.
Yes.
With him and with one another.
Yes.
So I thank you guys for tuning in today. I hope you've enjoyed our little sister chat. I know I have in this conversation. We're going to continue with one more piece to this segment. And we're just going to talk about some unhealthy sister stuff. And that's where me and my sister come in. Because I love my sister. But we ain't always liked each other. Because we're as opposite as night is and day. But here's the thing. We love. And sometimes you got to learn how to love through the unhealthy. And learn how to do boundaries. And learn how to do all of that, boundaries and borders. You got to learn how to do it in healthy ways so that you can do life together and enjoy the process regardless of what it feels like. So thank you again for tuning in. I look forward to us chatting on next week. And until then, do you to the max. God bless.